Yeah.
Hello, welcome to the Breaking Bread podcast with Jeff Johanna Meyer. And we have, of course, with our favorite friend, Raphael.
Raphael, still lover of Jesus.
Hey, Raphael, tell us about your holiday, just kind of the highlight.
How about you
here.
First? How about you?
Oh, no,
you
it's
first.
Fine. I tell you, no, mine was good. Had a great Thanksgiving. It was wonderful. Had a lot of people come over. Family showed up. It was great. And our family is growing because we've got more grandkids that are showing up. And so it is wonderful to see all the grandkids and talk to them and just play with them. And then, of course, Christmas was great. My wife made a gumbo, and then we later found out that, we'll just leave it alone. The gumbo was good, but we won't talk anymore about it. It's fine. No,
I had a good Christmas. My boy opened up a lot of presents, and it was just nice to be home with him and my wife.
Absolutely. Yeah, family time is definitely always good. Wonderful. We currently, we recently had a speaker come to our church, and on that Sunday morning, I was just praying, just kind of wanting to see what God had. And as I began reading, of course, Luke 5 for me years ago, I got from my personal revelation with Luke 5, I've learned some really interesting things about it. And just as I was reading through it, because for me, I've been reading the Christmas story. Of course, we start generally in Luke 2. You know, we read the Christmas story, and I thought, why don't we just continue reading through Luke? It's a great book to kind of dive more into. So we go through Luke, and so at Luke 5, I was happening to run across that right during Christmas time, and right after Christmas, and I really got something that kind of stood out to me. And so I'm going to read today, I'm reading out the Amplified version. That's my own personal take on, normally I read out of the New American Standard, but in Luke 5, and we're not going to read a lot, but we're going to read a couple real quick passages. These are very common passages, so you know you can read along with us, or you can just kind of listen to this. But it really talks about Jesus on the land by the shore there, the Sea of Galilee. And I always kind of thought that was interesting because if you remember the backstory of where this comes from. So Jesus has baptized by John the Baptist. This was his cousin. Then he spends, 40 days, 40 nights in the desert, or the wilderness, I'm sorry. Didn't say desert, it said wilderness, which was probably similar to a desert. We don't know that exactly, but we could take a little bit of parallel. And then now he shows up. It's interesting that I thought, then he shows up right here by the shore, or guess who was there? Simon Peter. Now, the Amplified calls him Simon Peter, but the New American Standard just calls him Simon. And this is where we kind of start our story off, and this is where we're going to kind of spend a couple of minutes just talking about these things. And so we see that Jesus goes and asks Simon, the owner of this particular boat, to go out, not very far from shore. In verse 3, he says, and getting into one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon Peter, he requested him to draw away a little from the shore. Then he sat down and continued to teach the crowd of people. Now remember, Jesus was teaching a crowd of people already, and so Simon and James and John and Andrew, they were just away from him a little ways, and they were cleaning their nets, as Scripture talks about. You can go further down and read it. And he gets asked to go out into his boat. And, of course, we know the story. And so Simon is basically asked by Jesus himself. Remember, Simon, at this point of the Scripture, Simon doesn't know Jesus other than that guy standing over there. That's teaching. That is all Simon knows about this guy. So now we're referencing that. And so the thing that really struck me is because I'm always intrigued by the prophetic, Raphael. I'm always intrigued by how the prophetic is applying to Scripture and then applies to our life. And then Jesus asking something really kind of strange of that moment. Let's go fishing. Now, Raphael, what was Simon Peter's response to that, to Jesus, is that it was?
when he says, to, are you talking about when he says, launch out into the deep and let
yeah,
down
so
he,
yeah, and so, yeah, verse 5, yeah, verse 5 is really kind of where I wanted to go. Simon Peter, I mean, I can read it, it's fine. Simon Peter answered, Master, we've toiled all night, exhaustingly, and caught nothing in our nets, But on the grounds of your word, now your word, of course, is capitalized, which means it's talking about Jesus' word, I'll lower the nets again. Now, it's interesting to me that as we begin the new year, 2025, that we have to continue to expand our faith. And if we're not expanding our faith, we begin to get somewhat callous in our faith. So that's something that we always have to be looking forward to, is stretching our faith and moving. And so Jesus asked me to do this, and I was recently talking to a friend of mine and was talking about this very thing, was it wasn't that Jesus called the fish to Simon. It was the faith that Simon put in the nets. When Simon said, remember what he said, at your words, so he's talking about Jesus Christ, at your words, again, you got to remember, Simon didn't even know Jesus this one. Yet, I'm trying to build a backstory so you can really get a more pronounced look at this, at your words. And then we look and see what happened. So Simon began catching fish. It was so great. You can read it in through the next few verses. The nets were so great, they began breaking the nets.
Have you ever had a net break financially?
That I have not, no. No, but let me hear. You speaking to faith, Raphael. Bring it on. I'm ready for a net breaking financial. Look, I've heard stories. I've heard ministers talk about this. I personally, myself, have not experienced that particular blessing.
I can imagine.
Go ahead, please.
You know, that these guys are fishing, you know, because they're doing it for a living, right? And they've never had something this spectacular.
No.
This is a miracle.
Absolutely.
This is a miracle that is taking place.
Right. By a guy that they've never met. You got to remember, they didn't know who this guy was. It was a strange man.
It's not only their nets that are breaking,
yeah,
but the remainder of their ability to hold the fish, just the remainder pulling in the broken net. Think about this. God wants broken vessels, right?
Yeah.
He wants the vessels who are willing to be humble, right?
Right.
And for them to be filled with new wine. He wants something that is able to expand.
You're getting way ahead of the scripture. We're talking about new wine later in the chapter. That
yeah.
same chapter. Talk about new wine. So yeah, keep going.
So,
yeah.
So people.
You've read this chapter before, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. But people are not always ready for the net to break.
That's true.
And for their boats to be weighed down with the miracle of God. I can imagine the overwhelming thoughts that were going through these guys' minds, because it wasn't just Simon.
Remember.
It was the sons of Zebedee. It was
yeah.
James, it was John, it was these guys right
yeah.
here. And
they, remember, they had been out all night long. So this is at the end of their work day. They're ready to go home, call quick, you know, get a nap or something.
Yeah. You know, everybody wants that breakthrough. Sometimes you got to go all night and all day and not catch anything.
Yeah.
But at the word of the Lord,
yeah,
you can have a net break.
That's true.
You can have your net worth, as they call it, break in a moment of a twinkling of an eye. You can have it break. You can have those financial problems break. I can imagine that this was the cause where they could go preach the gospel of Jesus around everywhere for years.
Well, and so we're going to get to that in just a second. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and it's interesting that we're talking about this at the very beginning of the year, so I really feel like that's a prophetic utterance, that you're using your prophetic voice right now. I think that's what's going to go on in the new year. But yeah, so as Jesus, or as Simon, you know, exactly what you said, as Simon is calling to his partners, and that's actually what you read in Scripture in verse 7, he signaled to his partners in the other boat, and they came to help him take in that. And so what happened? He had such a blessing, physically, financially, spiritually, that all happened in that moment, that they had to get other people to help them. And so when that happened, what did Simon do? Simon immediately fell on the ground or fell to his knees, depending on which scripture translation you're using. This particular version is using, he fell on his knees and said to Jesus, "I'm a sinful man." He cried out to that.
Think about this.
Go ahead.
The grace of God leads men to repentance. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. Okay? The goodness of God draws men to repentance. Peter, there was something simple about Peter.
Oh yeah,
big time.
He was a fisherman, so he kept it simple.
And with the simple act of grace, God coming for him in that moment,
sure,
and saying, "Okay, Peter, I'm going to bless you. You don't deserve this. This is unearned. It wasn't because you were toiling all night, but it was because you listened to the word of the Lord." How many times have we spent money? I'll put this for me, or it, this may not apply to you, but for me, how many times have I spent money that was crazy, and it was just like, that was on the wrong thing, Raphael, you know? And Raphael, or maybe it was, you know, money, right? Maybe it was time. Raphael, you spent way too much time on this, and you haven't done the right thing. Or maybe I didn't put enough faith into something that God told me to do. I backed out. I became unbelieving in one point in time. And then God just comes through with a baby. God just comes through with $150,000. To pay off all my medical expenses, right? God just comes through, and it's a wrecking moment. It was not because I did something good. It's not because I'm the perfect human being, but it's because God was bestowing his grace upon me. He shed his grace upon me in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
When I didn't have money to pay a hospital bill, right? Sure. $150,000 hospital bill. That's one of my personal testimonies,
right,
that the Lord's came through, you know, financially.
Yeah.
And my wife was going to school, and I didn't have a job. And God came through with $150,000.
Amen.
In just one phone call.
That's all it took. Yeah.
And all my bills were paid, and I didn't deserve that. There, I couldn't even work for it if I wanted to. And this is the type of situation that Peter is in right now. There's no way he could have worked for this. He tried to work for this.
Yeah.
It was all night, all day, and he did his best. And he was wore out.
We know that he was married, because it talks about his mother-in-law. So we know that he was married. So we know his family was probably, you know, needing his financial support to be able to take care of things, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I completely agree. You know, and for me, one of the things, you know, if you go back to verse four, he says when he stopped speaking, talking about Jesus, he said to Simon Peter, "Put into the deep waters and lower your nets for a haul." Now, if you look at that, one thing that I pulled out of that real quick, Raphael, was he said, "Put things into the deep." And the Lord spoke to me when I was kind of preparing and thinking about this that one morning that I got all this, was the thing that stood out to me was deep. It was Simon had a destiny on his life. And Jesus saw that. And Jesus, one of the first things he said to him was, "Go into the deep." Isn't that interesting? I thought, isn't that phenomenal that Jesus told him, and when he did that, he sustained him and gave him all the things that he would need at that moment to be able to take care of that.
Yeah.
But he had to have a process of learning how to steward everything else. And so that was one thing that really struck me about Jesus to Simon Peter. Of course, this is, like I said, the version I'm using. But to Simon, he's like, "You're going to go do deep things." And you're going, and not only are you going to go deep, but you're going to understand and pull back everything that you're going to find out. Phenomenal thing. It's a phenomenal text. And this is the very beginning of Luke. Yeah, go ahead. You got a thought?
As you're about to read the song, not of works that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's just ringing in my heart right now.
Yeah. Right. So, in the one thing that we want to look at this, and there's a few different ways that I wanted to pull text and kind of get this. But, you know, ever stop and think about how much faith did it require Simon to trust Jesus in that? That was another thing I wanted to kind of mention too, was Jesus had never met Simon. Simon never met Jesus. How much faith did it take for Simon to go, at your word? For me, I'm diving into this. I know I'm kind of going back and rehashing some of these scriptures here. I know it maybe sound a little bit, you know, very elementary or whatever. But my point is, if we're looking at and really building the foundation, it was the simple act of faith on Simon's part, because Jesus spoke the words. And Simon, it was his responsibility and his understanding and his ability to believe Jesus' words to do exactly what Jesus told him to do. And that was one of the things that really stood out to me, was we have to be almost, and I've been hearing this prophetically for a while now, we almost have to be childlike when we hear the voice of the Lord speak to us, Raphael. We have to be childlike. If your parent or your mom and dad says, Raphael, go get me this, you go do it. You know, you don't ask questions. You do it because, you know, mom asked for it. But that's how we have to be in that. So you got something else?
So as we reread in John chapter 1, Andrew was found first, Peter's brother. And Jesus, he's telling about Jesus to Simon Peter, his brother. And he said, I found the Messiah. He said, I found the Christ. He told Peter that. And then,
where are you at again?
First, John chapter 1.
John chapter 1.
Okay. Yeah, and then going into verse 42, he says,
okay.
And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is interpreted as stone. He starts off by telling him this, right? And then we see, you know, there's other things that's going on right here as that's going on. But John doesn't really tell us about the fishes, right, in this story. But we know from the other stories that he did. And in the last part of John, they all go fishing again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, after Jesus is dead, buried, they go back to their old lifestyle, because that's what they knew.
I think it's not just about going back to their old lifestyle. Once you've been changed, you can never go back.
Oh, I agree. I completely agree.
But these guys were trying to find something to do. They were trying to do something. Something familiar. And familiar isn't always bad. It's not.
True.
It's not. So these guys were out fishing. And God calls them to not be in the ordinary familiar things, but to break nets. He calls them again. He says, fish on the other side.
Right.
Again. And they're just like, oh man. And they pulled up a lot of fish again.
Right.
And Jesus asks Peter, he says, do you love...
I've seen a common thing with Jesus, that Jesus wants to bless the people that do exactly what he tells them to do, yeah.
Jesus asks Peter three times, says, do you love me? There's at least three to five different times in the Bible, as we're reading the Gospels, that God uses fish. First, there's the fish with the story that we're reading right here.
Right.
And then there's the coin in the fish's mouth.
Yeah.
And then there's the two times where the bread and the fish were multiplied.
Yeah.
And then at least this fifth time in John, at the end of John, where we see, you know, they're fishing again. Jesus asks Peter three times, do you love me more? And one of the times that he asks Peter this, he says, do you love me more than these? And I think about that question. If my nets are breaking and my ship is loaded down, do I love him more than the blessing and the favor that he's put on my life? Peter is in a situation where the Lord knows everything. And Peter answers Jesus, and he says, finally, he says, Lord, you know all. You know all. You know if I'm just gonna be liking you today, or if I'm gonna enjoy the blessing or not enjoy the blessing. You know if I'm gonna really love you or not. You know if I'm going to really follow you today or not. And he says to Peter, he says, feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, Peter.
Well, yeah. I mean, and the thing that I, and I like that thing that I recognized too was, you know, they're walking along. This is, you know, later in the story of Jesus and his disciples. And it was Simon Peter. And the reason I think that really, for me, Simon Peter really stands out was Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And who was it that responded? It was Peter. Remember, his name was Simon up until that moment. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds to him, flesh and bones did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. Is that not, and one thing that I really got this with, I really, you know, and this is my personal thought. I don't have a scripture per se right now to back this particular thought up. But I think that Simon was looking for Jesus long before Jesus came on the scene. Simon, there was something that when Simon was born, again, this is my thought, there was something that cried out, there's something bigger and I'm going to be a part of it. And that's why Simon was able to do all these cool things. That's why. I mean, I was like, this story, and when we understand it, and the reason we're kind of, for me, my thing is, I want to talk about faith. I want to just interact. This is where faith is a necessity part of our everyday life, believing for the impossible things.
So Peter has a lot of big things in him, and he catches a lot of big things, right?
Oh, yeah.
We see this story playing out multiple times. But it's not how big of a thing that you can do or how many big things that you can catch. It's if you can feed the lambs.
Yeah.
Because the big things are meant to be shared. And God's a big God.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants Peter to share him everywhere he goes. And that's why you see Peter, when he's going through the streets,
he's sharing...
The shadow of the Almighty with the people in the streets. He's sharing as he goes to the temple of John and looks at a man. And it's a big thing. It's a big thing. Seeing that he had faith, they went up to him and they said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. Get up in the name of Jesus.
Right.
It was big. That was big. And they had to share that.
You know, so, yeah, that's actually a really good thing. So I wanted to get a little further down in Luke 5, and we go to where the Jesus and Simon and Andrew and James and John, as we know right now, they run into a man that got leprosy. Now, I did a little bit of studying, I'm trying to find it here. Okay, here. And, yeah. Okay, so they find a man with leprosy. And do you know what had to be done to anybody that was found to be leprous in that particular day? If you go back, and it's interesting, I read that this morning. It is a very lengthy process. If you go to Leviticus 14, it tells you what the priest has to do with anybody with leprosy. It actually tells you what to do with the house. It's quite interesting. And I recommend anyone that hears this, if you're kind of curious about the lepers of the day, go read Leviticus 14. It's a lengthy chapter, but it's an interesting read. And but Jesus encounters this man, and I want to talk about what you just mentioned, and because you're talking about Simon Peter laying hands on that man after they had just received the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said in verse, this is Luke 5, 13, and Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Now he's already met the leper. And immediately the leprosy left him. In verse 14, it says, and Jesus charged him to tell no one that he might chance to meet until he said, "You go and show yourself to the priest, making offering for your purification as Moses commanded, for testimony and proof to the people that they may have evidence of your healing." And if you go on and it actually talks about how that leper went on praising and leaping and jumping for the Lord because he knew that he was healed. And it is interesting when you get touched by God, just like what Simon Peter, and we talk about the prophetic vision. If you look at that and you see that's that same thing, that same day, well, not same day, but that same time when Simon Peter watches Jesus begin to do all these ministries and healing, wasn't it interesting that Simon did the exact same thing when he became underneath the Holy Ghost? I thought that was really interesting. And so what happened to that man you talk about when he got prayed for? Someone go, "Have I none?" What happened? He said, "Rise and walk." And what happened? He did that. And then the scripture said he went leaping and praising the Lord. I thought, isn't that kind of phenomenal? The prophetic vision of that. And when you are touched by God, there is something that you that changes your life. Yeah, go ahead. Am I jumping?
No.
I thought that is a really common thing for us to be touched by God, and yet we just seem to have no emotion. Well, God did a great thing. No, we should be jumping up and down because God did a great thing. And so we are required, I believe personally, I think we're required to honor God for those manifestations of great things happening. It may not be leprosy. It may not be a lame man, but yet we need to be praising God for the small things. And that was kind of where this text took me in this. So, you got anything to add right now, Raphael?
I'm just listening to
You're pausing. Yeah. So I kind of hit a moment here, a mental speed bump where I'm having to think for a second. But later on, the one of the things that struck me most about it, if you read it later on in the chapter, you find Jesus going to okay, you find Jesus preaching in a house, and what happens? They find a man that is being let down through the tile, and Jesus basically heals him. And man, did he rattle the cages of the priests and scribes. Man, what did they do? Whose authority do you tell them to be healed? And what did Jesus say? Is it better the Son of Man to say, "Rise and walk," or "Your sins be forgiven"? And these men are freaking out. I'm like, who do you think you are? And could you imagine what that was like? And I mean, for me, could you imagine being the homeowner that day? And all of a sudden, you have this man, strange man, preaching about something that, you know, you're hearing. It's very, very different than what you're hearing in the temple. And all of a sudden, you start seeing the light in your roof. You start seeing light, and people are tearing your roof apart. "Hey, that's my roof. What are you doing?"
And can I tell you something interesting about that roof?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So it was very known in Israel for that type of roof to be, like, taken off and stuff like that.
Okay.
So a lot of people, when they're reading that story, they're just like, how crazy would that be? Well, for us, it would be pretty crazy.
Yeah, because our modern things are not made to be moved. Yeah.
But like their stuff, you know, they could easily replace something like that. They could easily, if they wanted to put something in the house, they could take off part of the roof and put something in the house from the top, you know. So while it is still extraordinary for us, and while you do need quite a bit of engineering to, you know, let down a man from the roof, no matter if it's a, you know, 10-foot ceiling or 8-foot ceiling.
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, it's specific.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, like, there's that would be amazing, 100%. But I think it was interesting, like the leaves and stuff of that time, you know. A lot of times people today would care a lot more about the roof than they would in that time. Even though you would still have issues, you know, replacing something, you know, or moving something and putting it back in place, make sure the rain doesn't come in or whatever, you know.
Right.
But welcoming a person to tear their house upside down just to have Jesus in their house.
Man, I mean, and that's the thing that for me, when you see these miracles happen, you know, and the Lord showed me something a long time ago about that. He said people were amazed and awed by the miracles that Jesus performed. But it was a door-opening thing for them to be able to hear the things that Jesus was saying. And so when you have a family member or your own self healed of some, you know, very painful or something like that, you're really open to hear, why did this man do this? It's a fascinating story. And I'm encouraged by the faith that these men were able to just stand by Jesus' side and go. I mean, after that, they had to get out of town quickly because, look, here, the priests were hot on the trail of these men. And so, because Jesus was not a well-known person when he first started ministry, but after he started doing some of these signs and wonders and he started having that we call a following, there was some things that he was having to think about. So.
What's some of your final thoughts as we conclude this?
Well, some of my final thoughts, I'm glad you asked that question. One of my final thoughts was we must never get weary in doing well, and we must never get weary in operating in our faith. Our faith was designed. Faith is designed, and I'm going to kind of use it in an analogy. It's like a car. You have, in order to get from point A to point B in this day and age, you're going to use a car, a bicycle, some kind of transportation device. And that's what faith was designed to do. And, you know, the Lord showed me years ago for ones that kind of let their faith sit on a shelf, it is going to be more harder and challenging for those people to see and understand miracles and the depths in which they affect those people. And so it is my final thought is let's continue to open up ourselves to hearing what God's doing and operating in our faith the best that we can. And we should always be stretching our faith. And that's something that I pray for the new year coming is that we're continuing to open to hear things about God and how it applies to us and then how we are able to take it and move to the next level. So anything from yourself?
It is so important to throw down your net and even have it break when Jesus tells you to do something.
Yeah.
It is so important. God wants to bless people who's listening to this right now.
Amen.
He wants to bless people. But you got to be willing to throw down your net. No matter if it's leaving your job, catching the big one, whatever it is, you got to be willing to follow him. And it's not always easy.
No, it's not.
It's not an easy thing. But all who are hungry, all who are thirsty, come.
Come follow me, yeah.
Come. Yeah. He has living water. He is the bread of heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And he's bigger than all the fish that you've ever caught.
Amen.
He's bigger than any net that has ever broken on you. He's bigger than all the ships that have been weighed down with all the gold in the world. He's more precious than all of us, and that's why Peter was able to leave all that and follow him.
You know, the thing is, I'm reminded, Jesus could have had all the fish, you know, within 2 or 3 miles shown up and been overwhelming. But it's an interesting, think about this, final thought. Isn't it interesting that when Simon pulled the nets, he was only able to take what his nets could carry? Stay tuned for more Breaking Bread podcast. So, yeah. You want to pray us out, or are you good?
Yeah, let's pray.
Final prayer.
Father, Lord, I thank you for this communion with you today.
Amen.
Lord, I pray as we listen to you, Lord, that we eat of the bread of life and we drink the cup of the cup that you've poured before us, God. I pray that we would know our net's length, God. And Lord, I pray that we would know our wineskin, God, and that we would expand that, God. And if we have old wineskins, God, Lord, that we would get rid of those and get new ones, God, for new wine. And God, I pray that we would have new oil, God, in this season and in this year to come. Lord, thank you for our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Breaking Bread podcast with Jethro Hennemeyer and
Raphael Farrell, lover of Jesus.
We will be back next time with more Breaking Bread. Have a great day and a great year.